Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast here. I'm Steve. I'm here with Sherry Duncan. My wife and I met Sherry and her husband, Scott, at the Knoxville, Tennessee conference back a couple months ago. And it was a real joy to meet them, to learn to know them and hear their story. And that was just a great weekend of catching up with a lot of people. And you know, just the unity that we had there and the joy of being together and learning together, it was just great. So I asked Sherry if she would share a little bit about her journey, where she came from and how she got to where she is today and some of the things that today that are she finds that are encouraging to her and a joy to her. So Sherry, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and where you came from and how you got here.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. So I grew up in Colorado, Denver, Colorado, a family of six, two boys, two brothers who were about 16 months older than me and a younger sister about 3 years. And so my life started kind of like an ordinary family back in the 50s. We went to church. Well, my dad didn't go, but my mom and brothers and I, we went to church. It was an Episcopal church, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the choir and singing. But then when I was around 10 years old, my mom ended up in the hospital for a couple months. She had some back problems. And anyway, after she got out, she was fine. She had some surgeries. But anyway, at that time, we quit going to church. So anyways, until about I was in high school. And then when I was in high school, I was searching for something more in my life. So I was looking for something. I started looking at yoga, various other religious stuffs, and it was kind of exciting. So kind of did that for about 5 years until everything got very confusing because everybody was saying this is the way and that was the way. So I just decided, you know what, I'm going to be my own God and live my life. Well, I did that until about 1975 when my life started falling apart. And without going into great detail, basically, my dad at the time was thinking about committing suicide. And he came over, shared with me one day that if he takes his life, he wanted me to tell the family why. And that was a really huge burden. I also had two other burdens going on at the same time in my life. I was working with a woman. I was working in a greenhouse. And I was working with a woman who I just never felt like she did her share of the work. And I was getting really bitter inside. And this bitterness was really affecting my whole life as well. And then, strange enough, there was another woman who was a temporary worker who came to the greenhouse. And she shared Jesus with me. And I thought, wow, okay, that's something else. But anyway, and she says, well, and she found out I had been living with my boyfriend for 3 years. And she says, well, why are you doing that? And I said, boy, that's a good question. Because at the time, our relationship wasn't that great anymore. Drugs were kind of becoming involved and I wasn't doing it, but it was getting miserable. I wanted out, but I didn't know how to get out of it. You know, I mean, I was 23 at the time. I just started praying to God, you know, and I got a Bible out that my grandparents had given me when I was young. And I read this passage that says, the kingdom of heaven is full of love, peace, and joy, something I didn't have in my life. So I started reading it and it said to enter in the kingdom, you must be born again. And I thought, what the heck does that mean? So anyway, as I just started praying to God, I says, God, you know, I want this. Well, in the meantime, two friends from high school happened to show up, two guys that I was good friends with, and they showed up 2 days apart sharing their testimony with me how Jesus had changed their lives. And I thought, wow, that sounds really neat, but man, Jesus would probably make me move out from my boyfriend, you know, and I don't know if I can do that. Well, as time went on, I just kept praying to God, hang in there with me. So I eventually got to a point where I went to church with these two guys. And in this church service, they're talking about as you get grow closer to the Lord, you'll grow, I don't know, closer to each other. I wanted to get out of there. I just got to get out. Well, at the end, the guy said something about those of you who want to come forward for forgiveness or ask Jesus into your heart, come forward. And so instead of going out, my heart literally started pounding out of my chest. And I thought, God, I want to go down to that altar. But my pride was saying, yeah, but they'll know you don't have it together, Sherry. And I go, well, anyway, before I knew it, I was up walking out of the seat, going down to the altar, tears streaming down my face. And I heard Jesus say to my heart, to follow me, I want you to move back home. I want you to leave your boyfriend, move back home. And that's what I did. I went down to the altar. I prayed, Jesus, come in, take over my life. It's a mess. And he did. It was like just this big battle was over. So I went home and told my boyfriend that I've been living with for 3 years. I told him what happened, and I slept on the couch that night. And wonderful, the Lord worked it out. He was in construction, had to go work on a job in Kansas City. So he left for 2 weeks. So I had 2 weeks at the apartment to kind of get ready to move back home to my parents. I was 23 years old. So I started, you know, and then I had the strength to actually move back with my family. I mean, the Lord, you know, he was so alive. Jesus was so real. I mean, I wish he spoke to me today like he did back then. But, you know, I heard his voice, for about 6 months. You know, he just really guided my life big time. But I love going to church. And the Lord gave me such a love for Scripture, so much so that after I moved back home, my dad would say, Sherry, get your head out of that book and go have some fun. But that was my fun. I just loved studying Scripture. Anyway, so life was good. God gave me I never knew what I wanted in a husband. And that's another story itself, how God brought Scott and I together. But he just gave me the love of my life. And 45 years, you know, later, you know, just a great guy. But but the church we were going to started becoming legalistic. And I'm sure a lot of people know what that means. And kept saying, oh, everybody needs to be involved in a ministry. Well, Scott started trying to be involved in these ministries, going to old folks' homes, you know, teaching. And eventually he became really, he didn't want to go to church anymore. And this was like, really? So that was hard. And at that same time, one of the pastor's wives was speaking to me and say, well, you know, Sherry, you and Scott should have kids. And that just, oh God, that just made my heart sunk, because for some reason I never had a desire to have kids. And even when before Scott and I got married, we talked about it. I said, I don't know if I want to have kids. And he said, because he told me he had joined the Carpenters Union at the time because he wanted to make a good living for the family. And I thought, family. And so I said, I don't know if I want to have a family. And he said, well, all I meant was you mean a puppy. And I go, yes. But we waited 9 years before we got our puppy. But anyway, but my life began to become filled with condemnation. The joy of the Lord was gone, because it now became of like doing things I didn't want to do anymore, you know? And I ended up going to an exchange life ministry. It's their conference. And so I told with them, you know, I counseled with them, and they said, Sherry, you know, maybe God doesn't want you to have kids. You know, maybe there's just some reason. And for some reason, it set me free. And I was back, you know, to the joy of the Lord, because I didn't fit the Christian mold, you know. And so anyway, we eventually left that church, tried a couple other churches, but it just, I don't know, it just wasn't happening until we had this little magazine that somebody had sent us called Union Life, Union Your Life with the Lord. And we started reading it, and I go, oh my God, this is so freeing. And so we found out a fellowship here in Denver where they were meeting. And so we went and met these people, and they became our family for the next 25 years, you know, all ages. And we just absolutely loved it. And during that time, I have to, kind of going back during the early 80s. So this is in the 80s. Well, I have to kind of go back after I left Bob. His life went down the tubes. He became involved in drugs and ended up dying. And my life went the other way. And I felt guilty for like 7 years until the Lord just said, you know, Sherry, we're only responsible for our own lives. And I let it go. And but anyway, that was tough. But so, you know, I'm just learning to let the Lord live his life through me. You know, I mean, as me, that was kind of what Union Life was all about, is just being free in him. And it was just freeing. I mean, my life was happy. And what one of the older men in their Hans, I have to show you Hans. Anyway, he was just such, he was like a great mentor for us. He was older. And at times he would start sharing about ultimate reconciliation. And I thought, I want to believe that. But Hans, I study scripture. I don't see it. It's just not there. And I just thought, man, he's just a sweet old man who's gotten soft in his age. Anyway, but I just loved him. And so anyway, so we'd have these speakers that would come into our group and speak. And one of them was a guy named Norman Grubb from time to time, Norman Grubb. And he just started sharing deep things with God, and just it was just wonderful. And about how God can just express his life through us just the way we were, which was freeing for me, you know. And so one day I well, anyway, and you can leave this in or not, but one day I was praying, and I met this young girl who was my age, and she was modeling, and she's petite, and I go, I've always wanted to do that, but oh my God, that's so worldly. Anyway, I just gave that desire to the Father. And a year later, man, he opened the doors wide open, put circumstances together, changed my life. And from modeling for 6 years, I then ended up with a brand new career as a makeup artist for film and TV. And I did that, you know, till 2019. And it was just, I mean, God just took me way beyond any dreams, because I never went to college, but I loved working with my hands, and I loved making people look good in front of the camera. And, but he just blew my mind with just such an incredible career. But and I came to learn that God directs our paths through desires and questions that rise up in our hearts, you know, because a lot of times, you know, become a Christian, you think, oh, these are such worldly desires. But man, I learned different. You know, God does use those desires. I mean, he just deals with us in this life. But anyway, so we continued to go to many conferences all over the country. And Bob George was a very instrumental. He was teaching us a lot about the grace of God. And I learned from like Bob George, Steve McVeigh, the Gillums, and many others. And then I even learned John and Marcy Moneypenny. This is, I don't know if this is in the 80s or 90s, but they had a ministry called Gospel for Today. And I'll just tuck that in. I'll get back to that in a few minutes, I hope. But, So anyway, we're just growing in the grace of God. I mean, we get together once a month with this group of 25 people that, you know, we just share what God was doing in our lives. And, you know, it was just wonderful. About in the year 2000, one of my neighbors came to the Lord, my next door neighbor and my best friend, and also Scott's mom. So we started doing Bible studies at our house for them, but I just wanted them to kind of go to a church to kind of, I don't know, just to get a little bit more. So there was a church close by called Foothills. And so we started going to this church, and before you knew it, they had me teaching there. I mean, and this is something I always wanted to do, but this is like in an organized church that I had left, even though it was a non-denominational. And, but I gave up my work, 'cause I was a freelance makeup artist contractor. That's how I did my work. And, So I just quit turning work down because, man, there's nothing more than I love than teaching Bible studies. And to, it's like I always wanted somebody to say, "Sherry, you make a great teacher." So anyway, I did that and just absolutely loved it. And after about 2 years in, one day I was teaching about how you don't have to ask God for forgiveness. Man, that just started an uproar. Oh, my God. Well, that led me coming before the elders, the board of elders. And I'm just saying, look, it's a done deal. God has forgiven us. You know, it's done. And anyway, I was pretty much shot down. So it was the hardest thing in my life. The best thing and the hardest thing, because the thing I love most was taken away from me. And so we left that church. And during that time, I felt like I was kind of reliving the crucifixion of Christ, because it's like, they don't understand. I mean, we're free in Christ. I mean, my whole identity was gone. You know, but Jesus was walking his life out through me. And I kind of got to experience some of that rejection, and it was just awesome, because what it did, Steve, is it left 25 years of me trying to change the church. Basically, I gave up. This is, you know, I'm not going to change the church, and because I had learned so much about the grace of God through so many ministries, and but I still had a lot more to get left. Yet to learn. So Scott and I left that church. And anyway, and I have to tell you, just to back up a little bit, just to tell you, this church, I mean, it was a non-denominational church. Shortly after I started going there and teaching, they asked me to be on the board of the women's ministry, because they were looking for someone to head up the women's ministry. And I thought, man, they want me, an outsider, to come in and, you know, interview all these women. And so I did. And so I met with the elders of the church and, you know, interviewed a lot of women. And I wasn't even a member of this church. But anyway, I felt very honored to do that. But so even then, so I left all that behind. It was like, oh my God, you know, but I felt honored anyway to do that. So that was a very painful time when they were letting me go, and I felt betrayed. I felt misunderstood. I felt like I was stabbed in back by one of the people who I just loved and taught, kind of about the finality of the cross. You know, Bob George really ingrained that into me, the finality of the cross. It's a done deal, folks. There's nothing more you can add to the cross. It's done. My reputation was now in the mud. And that was very, very painful, because, you know, I wanted to be this big, you know, this big teacher, you know, because like I say, my whole life, ever since I came to the Lord, my whole passion has always been studying scripture. In fact, my dad used to say, "Sherry, would you go out and have fun? Get your face out of that Bible," you know, and I moved back home. But man, I just loved it. You know, I mean, and I had a King James. And so I'd always look, this before the computer, I'd always look up words to see what they mean. And, you know, it was just great. But anyway, I learned what the fellowship of sufferings were when Jesus was living his life through me as I was going through this, probably the worst time in my life, you know. But I loved it because he carried me through it. And he carried me into a brand new freedom of, you know, trying to change the church was gone. Finally, I don't have to change anybody anymore. And I was free to let people think what they thought of me. And that was a huge freedom. You know, it was like I lost my reputation as a great women's Bible teacher, you know, because and I learned to let people. And here was where the freedom came was. Even though people could think badly, I could learn them. I could love them at the same time, because that was Jesus in me. And man, was that just incredible freedom to just have the love of God come through in the midst of just so much pain. And so no longer do I have to fix the church. I was done trying to fix them and the hierarchy and leaders anymore. I am free. And so the next chapter three was, Bible. So I wrote in my next chapter, Bible study of three and revelation of God's sovereignty came in. So when I left this church, there was two women who followed me. It was a mother and a daughter. And they, I mean, every time I was teaching a Bible study, they just hung on to every word. So we started having a Bible study, just the three of us, for like 10 years. And during that 10 years, I was just getting prepared. I was preparing to teach on Romans 9. And I thought, is there anything greater than Romans 6, 7, and 8? I mean, what's after that? I mean, that's what I was living my life in. So I was reading 9 and I thought, well, I know 9, 10, and 11 go together. So as I'm reading Romans 9, 10, and 11, I kept reading in Romans 11. I think it was, you know, kept saying it depends on God's mercy. It doesn't depend on man's free will who gets saved. And it's like, it's all dependent on God. And I kept saying mercy, God, you know. And as I got to the end of Romans 11, I think it was 11:32, it said, for God has consigned all to disobedience that he might have mercy on all. That moment, it was like in my mind's eye, there was like a box I had around of God. You know, I had him fit nicely. And it's like, he just shattered it. That this whole thing is shattered. He's going to have mercy on all. And I just ended up on a heap, just bawling my eyes out. And he opened my eyes. I go, what Hans was telling me from years ago, you know, about the salvation, I go, my God, he's right. Now this was like 20 years later, I think. And so anyway, I just got up from that puddle and my life changed. At that time, John Moneypenny and Marcy Moneypenny, they had a ministry called Gospel for Today. And they had come online talking about how their lives had changed, where they learned in the salvation of all. So I started listening to the, you know, on the internet, reading stuff, you know. And of course, I'm fighting because I go, well, you know, there's just things I go, well, I don't understand this. But in the midst, for 2 years, I just started listening. And, you know, God did open my eyes, you know, to the salvation of all. It's all him. And so that was probably right around, 2003. So I went back to my little group of the three of us and I started sharing that with them. And so we got into, you know, studying the salvation of all. And everything in my life turned upside down. Everything I once believed in, you know, no hell, the Trinity, just everything was being, it took me 2 years to sort everything out because I said, God, if this is true, I've got to see it in your word. And what was really eye-opening one day when I was looking in the concordance on Bible Hub about the word eternal means aeon. And I go, what? It means a period of time. It doesn't mean eternal. You have aeonian life. You don't have eternal life. That changed everything upside down. I mean, just everything. So thank God sometimes when you leave church, you go out, you learn, you know. And anyway, this is what stuff that Hans, you know, was telling me back 20 years earlier. So anyway, but I was shocked about the word eon. So so a group of us that had been in this group of 25, we just banded for a while. And then we, because a lot of the people died. And then it kind of started back up. And there was a couple in there that were learning about the salvation of all. So we started up again another Bible study with this and just unlearning everything we'd been taught. And so so that was the beginning of unlearning many things and learning truths that was so glorious. you know, of God. So it took me about 2 years to unlearn things and be settled in all these new truths that were coming to light. I was learning about God and his plan for all mankind and creation. I was learning about the different dispensations that were included in his plans and his purposes for his, for him to eventually become all in all. And so during that time, we had another teacher, Sean Martin, came in and was teaching this kind of new revised fellowship again. And we started learning from Nock, Aidan Lowdy, and just, you know, I couldn't get enough of this. This was just like a fire hose, because this was just, I mean, the grand, I mean, how great is God? I mean, and so then in 2006, we went to a conference in Chicago that was hosted by Dan Sheridan, and Clyde Pilkington was there. And I think Martin might have been there, but man, I just started buying books, and I just couldn't drink enough of this stuff. And so I learned so much, you know, unlearning and relearning. And I was just so grateful for Clyde, because, you know, he just provided so many resources for this. And so from that time on, I think, you know, one of the greatest realizations was learning about the complement of Christ, how we have a heavenly calling. And I go, what? My jaw dropped when I just started going, what? We're going to be above the highest heavens, having a part of reconciling the whole universe back to God. And I'm a part of that. You've got to be kidding, God. This is, I said, you got to give me grace to just take this in. And there was a book, you know, on that. I wish I had that book. I can't remember. My mind's gone blank on that. And I think it was a book that Clyde had written on that. But anyway, everything was just so glorious. And so anyway, my life changed. Everything, you know, learning about the grace of God, you know, going to these conferences. And then this conference I went to, I hadn't been to a conference in many, many years. I mean, back up. So I went to a conference in Chicago with Clyde in 2006. 2010, we had a conference down in our group in Monument, Colorado, where Martin Zender, Clyde came, and Dan Sheridan, some others. And that was great. But anyway, they came out, you know, conferences, and so just loved, you know, all this stuff about learning the salvation of all. And but you know what? It was not widely accepted among my friends. Oh my God. Oh. You know, are you kidding? You know, and I went even back to our Union Life people, and some of them who I dearly loved just got so tired of me talking about it. And they said, can't we talk about something else? And so my mouth became shut. I mean, I was just heartbroken that people did not want to know this stuff. So I became quiet. You know, I became quiet for a very long time.
This last conference was, there was a lot talked about the sovereignty of God. Many of the speakers, you know, kind of referenced it in their talks and whatnot. So how has that truth impacted you, that God is totally and completely sovereign?
Well, it's taken me further than I mean, like I say, back in 2000, I learned the sovereignty of God. But now everything is under his hand. It's taken me time to digest that, you know, really get that, because everything, you know, I mean, to really, so I'm still in the process of just soaking that in, that sovereignty of God. I mean, everything, you know, to really start having your eyes open for that. And but I know it's true. I mean, I know it's true. And, you know, you just start seeing how, yeah, everything is of him. Everything. So, but I still have a ways to go to really get settled in it, to where I think in 2000, you know, that was the beginning of knowing his sovereignty, you know. And, you know, it's just kind of learning and relearning, unlearning, it's just a growth. But man, what a beautiful plan he has for his entire creation and for us who are in the body of Christ to be a part of that, you know, that is pretty miraculous. And I mean, that there's just nothing greater than him becoming all in all, you know, and it's a journey, you know. Sovereignty of God is just really everything, and learning to rest in that. And I'll tell you, preparing for this interview, I could not rest in that. I mean, at times in my life I rest, but it's like, oh God, I don't want the focus to be on me, you know, but it's like kind of going back in my life and trying to remember, you know, in my brain of like, you know, because I came to the Lord in 1980. And so, you know, so much has passed, and kind of reliving some of, you know, the things. It might be kind of boring, but that was the path that God has on me. And